Hello, sick people.
Creating optimal health.
Small changes that can add up.
A workout that I can do pretty much anywhere.
Good for your health.
All right, Todd, how much sleep did you get last night?
Some total of four and a half hours.
Okay, I got a lot of sleep last night. I took a nap, which is I normally do. I get home, you know, I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You know, which you do also when you're hosting probably. So I take a nap when I get home for a couple hours, and then I get 5 hours of sleep at night. I consider it absolutely important that I get at least 7 hours.
You feel well rested with that scenario.
With 7 hours of sleep? Yeah.
Even if it's bifurcated.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Naps are good. But here's the thing. Everybody talks about how much sleep they get. I mean, don't we talk about that all the time?
All the time.
And complain about it?
Sure.
It's almost like you're a diehard if you don't get much sleep, right?
Part of the culture here at The Takeaway, like constant complaining about lack of sleep. It's sort of how we live.
Right, but we really would like to sleep.
Yeah.
We started this conversation online over the weekend, and we asked people if they're getting enough sleep. M. Hunter from Dearborn, Michigan wrote, "My motto is when you're hungry, eat. When you're tired, sleep. Little is more important to me than a good night's sleep, usually 8 or 9 hours on the weekend." I am with you, M. Hunter. But you know what? People do not take sleep seriously, and we are here to scare you straight. It's our installment of Do-It-Yourself Health. Kate Daly is back with us. She's the health editor for Newsweek magazine. And also with us, Dr. David Dinges. He's the professor of psychology and psychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine's Division of Sleep. Dr. Dinges is also the editor of the journal Sleep. Good morning.
Good morning.
Kate, good morning.
Hello.
Okay, so Kate, people don't, I mean, I think it's fair to say people don't actually generally take sleep seriously.
No. In the 1960s, people were getting in between 8 and 9 hours of sleep. Today, people get between 5 and 5.5 hours of sleep.
Wow.
And that's even down a half hour, 15 minutes from what it was in like 2000, 2001. So we're getting less and less sleep, and that's problematic for two reasons. The first is the day-to-day functioning. There was a study actually done at the University of Pennsylvania where they limited people to a little under of 6 hours of sleep for about 2 weeks. 6 hours of sleep a night for 2 weeks. And at the end of that 2 weeks, people said they felt fine. They didn't feel sleepy. But on tests, they performed as well, kind of cognitively and motor skills, as people who had been up for 48 hours straight.
Wow.
So on the day-to-day, it leads to a lot of problems. And that can lead to accidents and injuries, as well as just, you know, decreased performance and productivity. And then on a longer-term scale, we're finding out more and more that when you sleep, your body is not just resting, it's recharging, it's doing processes it can't do when you're awake, it's secreting certain hormones, it's not secreting other hormones. So people who don't get enough sleep have more calcium plaque buildup in their heart, they're more likely to have diabetes, they're more likely to be overweight. So there's a whole host of chronic health problems, the problems we've been talking about on this entire DIY series, that are linked to lack of sleep. So it's really a very serious problem, like you said, that people don't take as seriously as they should.
Okay, I want to repeat those really quickly because we said those very, very fast, but that's really important. I mean, lack of sleep can lead to, well, it's associated with obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. And Dr. Dinges, those are three things which shorten your lifespan.
They not only shorten your lifespan, they're increasing in prevalence in cultures around the world, which has caused the red alert in the public health sector because of the economic costs of large numbers of people with these disorders, but they also shorten the lifespan. And in fact, short sleep durations also been associated with a short lifespan, that is all-cause mortality.
You know, it's famous what I'm about to quote from Menachem Begin. He's obviously the former prime minister of Israel, and he described his experience when he was tortured with sleep deprivation. And I want to quote him here. He says, "In the head of the interrogated prisoner, a haze begins to form. His spirit is weary to death. His legs are unsteady. He has one sole desire, to sleep. Anyone who has experienced this desire knows that not even hunger and thirst are comparable with it." And doctor, are there physiological changes in your body that support what Menachem Begin was talking about?
Well, there are, and some of them are associated with the brain and the body. The brain basically has a protective genetic mechanism that keeps trying to turn sleep on, even in the presence of wakefulness, and it will relentlessly do that and protect itself. The genes that turn on are often, during sleep deprivation, are often sleep-onset genes, but then subsequently there are genes that protect the brain above all else. But this sets off a cascade of reactive or homeostatic processes in the body, which when left on can be potentially, to put it in a simple word, toxic to the body. But it overwhelms the brain to the point where that's all it wants. It doesn't care about anything else. And if you read, for example, Charles Lindbergh's Spirit of St. Louis, his solo flight across the Atlantic, it's all about sleep and sleep deprivation and how he doesn't care about anything. He just wants to go to sleep.
Well, you know, Kate, I want to read you this comment that we got from a listener. Dwight from Washington, D.C. wrote, "I normally sleep 4 to 5 hours per night. I've done so for about 60 years. Only when I'm feeling sick do I tend to sleep longer. 6 hours is longer for him. I do not feel tired or sleepy during the day, and I have a lot of energy. Doctors have told me I nearly need more sleep than this, but it has had no negative effects. Their advice is general, not knowing anything about how I feel." Do we have a good measure of what is enough sleep?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, in that study where people weren't getting enough sleep, they feel fine, and they said they feel fine. You also hear about people who, you know, Diane Sawyer, Bill Clinton, people who say they only need 3 or 4 hours of sleep, they're just fine. That amounts to about 10% of the American population, so it's the exception rather than the rule. But I do think that most people, when they have a chronic sleeplessness, they feel it, and their health reflects it. So if you're only getting 5 or 6 hours of sleep, and like I said, you don't have hypertension, you don't have any of these other kind of metabolic markers that we're talking about, and you don't feel it, then chances are you're fine. But the odds of that happening, like I said, are about 1 in 10.
Dr. Dinges, are we more likely to think that we're getting enough sleep is that to be true?
This is part of the problem. The brain, under chronic sleep restriction, has a very difficult time knowing how much more sleep it needs. And in everyday life, where we're driving ourselves with stimulants, meaning stress, the natural catecholamines in our body, as well as caffeine and food, and televisions and electronic devices going on constantly, we have this sense that we're fine and we're good to go. Although many of us know that while we might be able to work at our desk on something stimulating, we couldn't drive a car for very long without falling asleep. That's a serious warning sign, and it's what we think is leading to a lot of people getting less sleep. To be sure, there are natural short sleepers, but they're only a few percent of the population. They're not the 30, 40, 50% that is undersleeping. Also, I want to make a point that how much time you spend in bed, 7 hours a night, is not your sleep time. Your sleep time's no better than about 90% of that. So that's about 6.2 hours. So what a lot of people think is adequate sleep, 7 hours, is often inadequate. It's 6.2 or so. And so we have this problem that they don't understand physiologic sleep is not just time in bed.
So Kate Haley, what's the advice here? People who are exhausted might have a lot of cues they need to get more sleep, but for people who think they feel fine or only get 5 hours, is it turn off the BlackBerry at night, turn off the TV, what's the advice to get more?
Well, and I think we probably have a lot of listeners right now going, lady, tell me something I don't know.
Right.
I know that I'm exhausted. Telling me to get more sleep does not change the fact that I have an hour-long commute to work. I have to pack my kids' lunch. I have to get up early to prepare for this thing. So what we've been doing for this whole series is to try to make it easy and to try to take some of the pressure off. So we're not saying tonight, get those 8 hours of sleep. I think a good goal for this week, and I'm going to try to do it too because I don't do well in this area, is to let's try and get an extra 15 or half hour of sleep a night. See what you can do. Yeah, see what you're doing that takes up more time than you think, whether it's watching TV, whether it's surfing the internet, whether it's just, like you said, checking your email before you go to bed, and get rid of the laptop and the BlackBerry in the bedroom.
Okay, and nap.
Sleep extra on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, and nap. Kate Daly's the health editor for Newsweek magazine. Dr. David Dinges, he's editor of the journal Sleep and also a professor of psychology at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. We want to hear your sleep stories, especially if you have tips about getting more. I'm sure most of the people in our control room could use that. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Share it on our Facebook fan page. That's facebook.com/thetakeaway. Meg from Montclair, New Jersey, that's where I live, writes us, "My son got sick shortly after he was born. I was awake day and night with him, never sleeping more than a few minutes at a time. It was awful. And I truly believe the majority of people don't know what it's like to be sleep deprived or how much sleep affects your health." Give us your take as well.
And we want to hear from you. You can text us. Remember, send the word START to 69866 to get in on the next day's show. That's START to 69866. I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry. He's back tomorrow.
And I'm Celeste Headley. This is The Takeaway.